Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Todd Lebo, and Jake Gutierrez, thank you so much for joining us. It's Monday, April 22nd, 2024. It's NFL Draft Week. So we are excited about that. And we care about the NFL Draft, so we're here for you. Ready to make things happen. We care about you. We care about the Chiefs. We care about each other. We do.
It's just a week of love for the draft. The love of football.
It's a good week. Not as good as last year when the draft was here, but I am thankful that my week is not similar to what it was last year.
Yeah, I was saying this is better, actually.
Because I believe I had no less than
15 events.
Well, you're not exaggerating by much, buddy.
I had
several live appearances that week leading up. I remember I did an event at for Big Brothers Big Sisters with Nick Allegretti and Tim Grunhard.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big draft party.
Client parties. More parties.
That I emceed with Uncle Cracker and CeeLo Green.
Of course.
And then the boys.
As you will.
Yeah, the boys.
We had a party
right out
at Hollywood Casino for clients.
Right.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We were there.
We were there
me.
For that one. We got up and talked in front of those fine people as well.
Yes. And then not to mention there was the draft part.
Right.
I like this better.
And then we had
I know that was fun, but yeah.
And then we had the roast of Steve DeBerg.
That was Sunday night to cap it off.
All right. Now this week I do have, so tonight I will be out at the Boddicker Foundation Bourbon Raffle. So
you
all
think
the
I'm going to win?
Yeah.
Because I bought tickets.
Maybe. All the people that bought tickets over the past several weeks, that is over. And so tonight we will have the actual raffle pulling the winners on a live stream.
You promised me right now if you pull my name out, you're not going to throw me away?
I'm not going to throw you away.
Okay. Because I don't want to get thrown away.
No.
I don't want to get thrown away. Here was my weird thought from last year's draft.
Watch the drawing tonight at 6:30 p.m. BoddickerFoundation.org. Or I think you can go to their Facebook also.
Yeah. They stream
but BoddickerFoundation.org.
I remember last year being at the first round of the draft Thursday. And we had, I was credentialed to be down there to do whatever needed to be done.
Mm.
And it was weird because we knew that what was going to happen wasn't probably going to involve a Chiefs player. The players who were there weren't going to be picked by the Chiefs. So we were over at the Crown Center, and someone would get drafted. They would somehow move them through the little skywalk things, whatever, and they would come to this room, and everyone would ask questions, and everyone would shout because no one would call on people. It was a weird room. But I remember C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson coming in the room together because they'd gotten picked, like, half an hour apart. It was kind of neat things. But I remember at whatever time it was, Chiefs picked last. So it was late when they drafted Felix Anyeduke Uzama. And I remember being at Crown Center on the Zoom asking questions while he was in Blue Springs on the Zoom asking questions.
Right.
And the draft was in Kansas City. I'm like, what is going on here that no one... And he had been down at the draft walking around as just Joe Citizen earlier enjoying the night and not getting recognized, and then like a couple hours later, he would become a Chief. And it was just a weird thing that we were all in Kansas City, but no one was in the same room. And I'm excited for this to happen in another city tonight, or Thursday. Go Detroit. Enjoy it. I'll go out to Arrowhead on Thursday and Friday. Hang out. This is the day that they give you the good food. Maybe some fancy food
wow.
out there. Yeah.
I think I hosted one night on stage at P&L.
Yes, you
and
did.
And then the last week was so crazy. And I never, like, I had all these events, but I never even got to go to the draft.
Until Saturday.
Until
you took
Saturday.
The
one that wanted to go really big. Well, Phil went to the first round.
Without you.
Without me.
Yeah.
He went with his friends.
Yeah.
He walked down there on his own and got in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how he got in. But he got in.
Because they did close it off.
They closed it off.
Because there were too many people.
Can I say how he got in now?
Yeah. You might have said this last year.
For one evening, Phil was Stephen Zane John from Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It happens.
He just wanted to see.
Picture looks the same. Same haircut.
Right. And so then...
I said, just walk with purpose.
Walk like you belong.
Yeah.
And he did.
Because they did have a little, you'd scan your badge and the thing.
He got in. He was fired up. Selena wanted to go really bad on Saturday. So we went, and we had Davey B hooked us up. It was great. Sitting in some really nice seats, and we were waiting for the Chiefs to draft in the fourth, I think it was in the fourth round. And I told her, I said, okay, whoever they drafted, this will be our player to watch because we watched him get drafted. And we were waiting, it was going to be a while, but then the Chiefs moved up. I go, the Chiefs just moved up. So we got all excited, and they drafted Shamari Connor.
How about that?
He ended up being a pretty fun player to watch.
He's going
to
be a big part of this team now.
Over the course of the year.
For sure.
Yeah, because every time he'd do something, we'd just look at each other from across the room and during the playoffs. Yeah, that's our guy.
This will be great to watch this on TV, though. Forget about the rest
of it. Yeah. Well, so then that gets to the rest of my story. So tonight I'll be at the Bourbon Raffle. And then on... On Friday, I'll be out at The Deck Supply here in Overland Park off of Metcalf.
Yeah.
From 11 to 1. And then I must make an appearance at the Kid Fire Classic Golf Tournament that helps Craig Cummings and inner city kids that box in Golden Gloves and his gym. He does a lot for kids, right?
Chad's got you in here hosting the draft card Friday night as
no,
well.
No, he does not.
He does not?
Because Saturday night, I will be the MC of Challenger Fashion to benefit the YMCA Challenger programs, and I've been able to secure Tim Grunhard and Mike Boddicker to walk in the fashion show.
Oh, my God. How about that?
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's phenomenal.
That's pretty good.
That you got Boddicker to do it.
Yes, that's the one.
That's phenomenal.
You know, he too many times he said, I'll do anything.
If you ever need me.
For you, Steve. I want to say that I have a very special relationship with Mike. I love Mike.
He's one of the best dudes.
And
ever.
I just have a, you know, and I don't, he gets me.
Yeah.
And he's allowed to call me Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So you know I love him. And so and he does not. He doesn't like to do very many things, but he wanted to do this for me, and I was so excited because, you know, when I do these events, I'm up there on the stage, and then Susan's got to kind of sit there, right. And but now Susan and because Susan and Lisa really like each other. Mike's wife Lisa is awesome. Hey, to put up with Mike,
she has to be all world.
She has to be right.
She's all world.
Right. And I think Timmy's going to bring Sarah, and so Susan's going to have people with her to have fun.
It'll be great.
Going to see us up there.
Do you have any idea what they're dressing these guys up in?
Nope. They sent them to Dillard's on Zona Rosa, and they get them outfitted. There's a style consultant there that.
Well, Mike already has looks a style at, consultant.
Looks at the cut of their jib and fits them in something.
Check out their inseam.
Double measure twice.
Cut once.
That's what you do, right?
I am dressed by our friends at Houndstooth.
Yes.
So, Jeffrey, I've got Hound. You know, so I've got several things that I wear that I mix and match from my different events, and so that'll be Saturday night. But then Sunday early evening, I'll be the MC of the Christian Okoye roast of Duron Cherry.
Oh,
is Duron Cherry hasn't been roasted yet? How has he not been roasted?
Roast him.
No.
All these roasts, and they're finally getting to Duron?
2 years ago, he's walking up there for the roast, and he grabs me and he goes, you better not say anything bad about me. I'm not gonna.
Now,
we
got to
get Duron on this week to find out what the
limits are.
Seriously, we need to just get him on just to check in real quick and say, okay, what do you want
me
to do?
I can always carve out time for
because
Duron.
I can dictate what happens here.
Yeah, we can go.
And I can't, you know, but
hard or easy.
Right.
How do you want this?
You know, I've got some good ones.
I would not want to be anywhere near your position.
Why?
I just don't want.
It is kind of scary roasting these guys.
The only time I thought I might have had a problem was with a drunken Andre Reed.
Well,
He got really pissed off.
Yeah. He's a nice man, though.
Yeah, he was more pissed off at people booing him.
Yeah. And, well, it's Buffalo stuff, dude.
Yeah, he got into it. And then he got and goes, you never you ain't gonna go to the Super Bowl. And now if he came back, it wouldn't work out very well for him.
I think he was here last year. I think.
Was he? I
remember going up to the golf tournament the next day, and I think he was here. I think. I can't remember. That was the end of that week where I had worked the draft all night long.
You know who always roasts me? That's Carl Peterson.
Well, he likes to roast you.
Yes, he does.
GM running it.
Yeah. So that's fine. I need to touch base with him on the air and get it on the record. Because 1 year it was Bobby Bell. I told Chris, I'm not roasting Bobby Bell. And so it became a tribute. And it was really good. And it was a really good tribute. So I feel like we should pay tribute to...
Duron probably deserves a little roast.
Well, I've already got some... I've already written a couple of them. It's not having. See, and I need to know. I don't know who's the other roasters are.
Yeah.
Like DeBerg, he loved it.
Yeah.
And I said some horrific things about DeBerg, and he just toasted me. He loved it. I'll tell you one of the jokes if you come in studio in the commercial, but I can't see it on the air. I've already got some OJ stuff written.
Oh, it's that time.
Right. Yeah. That was,
it's
perfect
here.
Timing for that.
It's here.
So I got that on Sunday.
Let me tell you a quick story.
About
a raffle. Because you've got the bourbon raffle tonight. So, listen, here's the deal. I'm not going to cry. Okay? My mom died. We cried last week. Had a funeral and all this stuff this week. And so...
Did you cry when you saw Jake and I sitting in the last pew at the funeral together?
A little bit. I tried to not look up at the crowd when I had to read my reading.
You had to put your glasses on.
I did, because the font wasn't quite big enough for me.
I thought your brother did a very nice job with
the
eulogy.
He did. No chance I could have done the
eulogy. He has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, well, that's what he does, voice stuff, so.
But I didn't realize he had a beautiful voice.
Beautiful voice.
We were a hard pair to miss.
What is he?
Actually, was.
So what's he doing?
He works for this company that does audio and kind of, it's quote-unquote radio, that is all across the country. And, they're in water parks and... High school
very,
pregame stuff.
Very VOG, voice of God. Very, hello there.
He does. So
very good.
We get done with all of that stuff. And on Saturday night, we had already said we were going to go to this Variety Kids, Variety KC gala that was down here at the Overland Park Convention Center.
Ah, you went with Lance.
Yeah, with Lance and with the Wolf and Rob and all of our wives. Mm-hmm. So they, because... Eric with Jamie and Carissa, they're on the board of Variety Kids. You know what? You're on the boards of charities. So they,
I am.
We had a table and it was a nice night. Variety Kids does a lot of stuff. They put adaptive equipment at the airport and playgrounds and all that stuff.
They do a wide variety of things.
They really do. And it's a great charity, and it will bring you perspective on everything happening in your life when you see these kids going through these tough challenges. Anyway. So we're there, and it's a fundraiser. There's live auction stuff going for tens of thousands of dollars and all this stuff. And, there's a silent auction with all kinds of things, and there's a raffle. And I don't win things. I don't raffle, right? So there was a couple little raffle things, and Denise is like, go play the raffle. And there was an autographed guitar autographed by Taylor Swift. In this raffle.
What?
So I go, and I'm like, it's the raffle thing where you just go put your hand in the bag, and you pull out a card, and the cards were between 1 and 200, and whatever you pull out is what you buy a raffle ticket for. You pull out a 200, you bought a $200 raffle ticket. You pull out a 1, you bought a $1 raffle ticket. They all work the same. So this thing's almost closed, and I go up there, and I reach in, and I pull out the 54. And I'm 54 years old. Well, my wife is 54
that's a good
years
number.
Old. Almost everyone at our table is 54 years old. Anyway, so then I, whatever. It goes by, and it's 20 minutes later, and they're just about to start the live auction. This is when Stephen St. John would come out and auction.
Right.
It wasn't Stephen. The lady was very good, but I don't remember her name. So they come, and they said, all right, here we're going to pull out. They had some fancy bourbon bottle that was one raffle. There was something else. And they said, we're going to pull the number Taylor Swift autographed guitar. And they pull my freaking number out.
You got that?
Yes.
You won?
I'm like, that was like Barbara Lebo reaching down and pulling the thing out.
What are you going to do with it?
Holy moly. Is it going to go on the wall?
Well, so it was funny. I don't have the guitar. I wasn't there yet. It was getting shipped.
Because we're auctioning one off on Sunday.
So there you go. I'm going to have one of these. And so Hallie, Eric and Jamie's daughter, was there, and she had put in for the raffle, and she didn't win. She's like, I want that guitar. I said, well, I've got a daughter who loves Taylor Swift,
right,
who lost her grandma and all this. So this is like a
and
little...
And you also collect guitars.
I do collect guitars and stuff like that.
So you give it to your daughter.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to when I get it. Because
does she know?
Yes. So she knows.
What was her reaction?
Capital letters. Oh, my God. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's great.
Text. But it was just a weird thing to think of how, you know, all the last couple of weeks have been like. And we go to this charity thing, and you just take a chance.
And she likes Taylor Swift?
She loves Taylor Swift. Let me tell you, you want to talk about the Tortured Poets Society? Sit down for a couple hours. Addie will tell you all about it.
Like, did she believe you? I mean, that's, like, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
When you told her, like, what was her, did she just scream? Or
yeah,
what
well, it was crazy. And then on the way home, we called, and she was. It was just, you know, so it was great.
Was there any thought that you would give it to Cooper instead? Because it seems like he would love it.
I don't.
He's left-handed,
right.
So
okay.
Maybe not. But I don't know what kind of guitar it is. It's probably just a kind of a plain guitar, but it's going to be autographed by her.
Well,
so.
You know, it's a Taylor Swift autographed guitar.
That's what
it is. Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a Gibson or, you
I don't
know,
think it matters.
Well, it matters to Todd.
It kind of does for me on that stuff.
Right. Yeah, you sound like Richie now. Like, I don't know what you're talking
about.
It's a guitar.
It's a guitar. Yeah. But it's like just, I thought it was a perfect little end.
That's beautiful.
To everything that happened. So
golly.
It was just wild.
Man, oh, man.
Beautiful.
It's wild.
Beautiful.
So, listen, I'm telling you this. If things are hot on this raffle, this bourbon raffle tonight,
see?
I mean, maybe Barbara's pulling some numbers on that, too. I don't know.
There's some high-level stuff you can win in this bourbon raffle tonight.
We'll know something's going on if we win some bourbon tonight.
I mean, I bought tickets for the raffle.
And you don't even drink.
I don't even drink.
I don't even drink.
But guess what? There's some bottles that...
that you just want to have the bottle.
You will...
Profit.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the Royals game yesterday. I should have played the 50-50 just to really test it out. You know, didn't play the 50-50
Oh, so you're the reason
round.
They got shut out.
Yes.
Beautiful day.
Orioles win 5-0 over the Royals.
Oof.
Seth Lugo finally has a bad start.
Felt like they should have scored about 10 runs off him the way they were hitting the ball. And it wasn't, I mean, it was within reach still because it was solo homers. But, man, those are some loud home runs. You heard the crack of the bat in the intro.
But when the fountain...
Oof, no doubters, those two home runs.
Well, again, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. But again, and look, this isn't criticizing the Royals or breaking any news here. Baltimore's better than Kansas City.
Baltimore's very good.
You know, they're a playoff team. They made the playoffs last year. They're supposed to make the playoffs this year. And when you look at their collection of talent, very few teams have a better roster of young talent, especially young offensive talent, that they showcase. And you know, the Royals have hung in there with them. But you could see there's a gap. A little bit of a gap. How big is it? I don't know. But the big problem is the Royals' offense is too inconsistent. Way too inconsistent. You know, I feel bad because I've been on this Michael Garcia bandwagon, and he's struggling. And mm-hmm. I'm not off of it, but, you know, I don't know what they do. Do they leave him in the leadoff spot? Did they try to move him in the lineup to take some pressure off of him? But he's sinking. He's not swimming. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. and Pasquantino and Salvi, they're all fine. But Melendez has come crashing back to earth. You know, Renfro still hasn't been able to put things together. So there's a lot of, you know, Isbell, there's a lot of spots in this lineup that are struggling. And so it's just a reminder that although this team is dramatically better than they were last year, the rotation is dramatically better. You have a lot of improvement in key areas. This is not a finished product. And when they go up against a team like Baltimore, it's a reminder of the distance they still have to travel to become a true contender. And that's okay. That's all right.
Struggling.
That's all right.
Yeah, the problem is it's the inconsistency. I mean, they're
right.
Not – they've scored 108 runs, but they've got 5 games where they've scored – you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, but they've got, I think it's like 8 games where they've scored 2 or less.
Well, you got too many guys under 200 hitting.
Well,
under 200,
in the little Sunday lineup yesterday, you know, you look up there and they had 5 guys at 200 or below or something in the lineup, and you're like, boof, you know. But, you know, still, like I said, it was a competitive game even though they had those home runs early. And you just felt like if the Royals could just get a hit, but they couldn't. I mean, you know, Bobby, the second batter of the game, looked like he was going to have a triple, and it was smart. You don't want to make an out at third base. But then the first inning, you leave a couple guys on. You're like, they just can't miss those opportunities. They got to find a way. I'm just looking through here. Like, Texas has about the same number of runs scored. But Texas has, like, three games with 10 or more and three games with one or zero and a whole bunch of fives and sixes. The Royals need some more games with fives or sixes and just have some consistency.
Right.
Because I think you can win more games that way than – because the zero – Is I mean, obviously
instead of feast or famine.
It is exactly what it is.
All or nothing. We'll take a break. Royals lose 5-0, lose the series. NFL draft week is here. Todd Lebo's here. We got lots of stuff to talk about back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us.
There we go. I was just making sure it was the right version of that song. A little scared. That's bleeped.
What?
There's a big customer coming up right in there, and it was bleeped out. I was just a worry. You're, I was going to talk over it.
You're scared?
We've had things, man.
Me?
There was a crazy-ass fight on Saturday night between Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, and Ryan Garcia won.
It went decision, right?
A majority decision.
Was it the right decision?
Here's the deal. Like this is what irritates me. Boxing doesn't do a good enough job of it, but like, people don't understand how to score boxing. They don't understand it. And like when I sent out the scores, people were like, 112, 112, what a ridiculous score. That was actually the best score of the three judges.
Did you score it?
No. But, well, I was...
Like in your head?
I was going along with Chris Mannix, who was the...
He's great.
I do not agree, but that's fine.
No, I mean, I like Chris Mannix.
His scoring is not great,
usually. That's probably accurate. I like more of his work with outside of boxing.
I was trying to follow along with it. Phil was trying to score it. And so what people don't understand, like, each round is scored separately.
Yeah.
Okay? And, like, it doesn't matter if a guy gets a knockdown in the fifth round, a knockdown in the 10th round, a knockdown in the 11th round. It also matters what he did in those other rounds.
Sure.
Okay? You score one round, and then you turn it in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't score the fight as a whole.
It's not
a lifetime achievement.
You don't wait to the end. Okay, and so like what one guy does in one round doesn't carry over to the other.
Right.
All right? And so the rounds that Garcia won, he dominated. And if you get a knockdown, so 10-point mud system, the winner gets 10 points, the loser gets 9. If you knock a fighter down, then it should be a 10-8 round. In rare occurrences, if you get a couple of knockdowns and it's a really dominant round, it could be a 10-7 round. But a lot of judges don't do a 10-7.
They don't.
Round.
I mean, 10 rounds could be 10-1.
Yeah, no,
they don't ever do
never,
that.
You will never see a round under 10. 10-7 is the biggest gap.
But I mean, theoretically, some guy just
see,
doesn't
if
do any
did
of
that,
that,
then you couldn't win a decision for you the other guy.
I know. I get the point.
Right. So. They'd be like, that touchdown was so good, it should be 50 points.
It should be more.
No, it shouldn't.
Sometimes
the game's over.
Yeah.
Hey,
and also, people get docked points, like we saw. Ryan Garcia lost a point.
In the rounds that Ryan Garcia didn't get knockdowns, he did very little. Like he did well in the first round and hurt Devin Haney. Then he did nothing for four rounds. He lost four straight rounds. Okay, and he didn't hurt Devin Haney enough for it to be a 10-8 round in the first round. So he was down on the cards. And as Jake pointed out, one of his knockdowns gets erased because he was penalized a point for hitting on the break. Now, I thought the referee, Harvey Dock, who's usually a really good referee, was horrible. I think if not for the referee, then Ryan Garcia would have got a stoppage because Harvey Dock gave Devin Haney so many chances, like were weird to recover, would push him back, would give him some extra time, would time out to warn him when Devin Haney was hurt. You know, the hit on the break, just all these different things. If you would have told me that Harvey Dock was a big Devin Haney fan, and he was trying to help him get to the final bell, I would have said, yeah, it sure looked like it. Mm-hmm. It sure looked like it, okay? But my takeaways from the fight, Ryan Garcia clearly played up the crazy card on social media. But guess what? Both can be true. He's a couple of cards short of a full deck.
I think it plays nice that I played it up, but right. He is crazy.
Do you
absolutely crazy?
Do you guys want to tell me that Mike Tyson was always sane in the lead ups to fights that he won?
Most of the time, the boxers.
Do you ever see any fighters that are crazy in training camp and do wild things in training camp? We hear stories about what Tommy Morrison used to do in training camp, about what Mike Tyson used to do in training camp, about what a lot of these guys I know firsthand, a lot of other fighters, what they do in training camp. Okay, Ryan Garcia even came out and said, hey, I drank alcohol every day in training camp. Whatever. Here's a couple of things, of reasons why he won the fight. Number one, Devin Haney had a horrible game plan. He had no answer for the one thing that Ryan Garcia is known for, a tremendous left hook. And he kept getting hit over and over again. And you get to a certain point in a fighter's life, it's always great to see a father training his son. Okay, but there's a shelf life on that. And at some point, okay, and there's a few cases where a fighter can always be trained by their father, right? But there's a certain point where a fighter needs someone else. Another voice, someone else in the corner. And I think Devin Haney's to that point now, okay? Because he's had a couple of fights that he's almost lost. Some people think he lost the Lomachenko fight. He had some real issues with Jorge Linares and got hurt in the 11th round of that fight. And so he's had some issues in his last couple of fights. So that's number one. Number two, he doesn't have enough power to keep Ryan Garcia off of him and to get Ryan Garcia to respect him. Ryan Garcia tried this crap with Gervonta Davis and got knocked out. Okay? Devin Haney landed on him a couple of times. Good shots. Devin Haney only has 50 knockouts, did not have enough power for Ryan Garcia to respect him.
He's bring power. Okay.
Ryan Garcia, we forget, through all the crazies, he has a tremendous left hook. And he does something that it's very difficult for many fighters to do successfully. He throws a jab left hook, right? And he throws it with tremendous quickness and power.
He's bringing power.
That's not a hard. That's a very hard thing to do with such tremendous knockout power. And he snaps it, and a couple of times, bam, bam, and that jab kind of got Haney like this, and then he was in perfect position for that left hook to come behind it, and he had no answer for it. And then because he was like shell shock from that left hand, the right hand started to hurt him. And honestly, after he got stunned in the first round, after the first knockdown, he wasn't the same afterwards. He was probably concussed. And I was surprised, with the help of referee Harvey Dock, that he was able to get to the 12th round.
How many times did he get knocked down?
Three.
But I think there was at least one more that should have been ruled a knockdown that was ruled a slip. Mm-hmm. There's twice that he went down that they ruled. I think one of them at least should have been a knockdown. That's another time when I thought he was helped. Okay, when he kept going to the ground, I thought one of them was because of a punch. Anyway, but you have to credit Ryan Garcia.
Absolutely.
And you have to credit his trainer, Derek James. Ryan Garcia has gone from trainer to trainer to trainer. He listened. I listened to the instruction that was being given. That was very, very good. And he listened to it. And he followed it. And he had a game plan. Devin Haney was baffled when Ryan Garcia basically turned his back to him in the corner. But then the referee, again, was something that was ridiculous, kept warning Devin Haney, you know, don't hit him in the back. Well, you got to warn Ryan Garcia for turning, you know. And the referee lost control of the fight and did a terrible job, okay? But that was, it was an outstanding performance. You know what was it? Gosh. There were some rounds where he looked, Ryan Garcia looked terrible. His footwork was terrible. He didn't do anything. And Devin Haney didn't look great. And so, but it was, when they come together, you know, and I remember one time somebody told me, an old trainer told me, he goes, you put, you know, he said other words. You put dog crap and dog crap together in the ring, and it could be something special. It's all about matchmaking. It's all about styles.
I mean, Haney was way more consistent.
It was, but he had a terrible game plan.
Yep.
And Ryan Garcia just gave rounds away where he didn't do anything. And so, honestly, when it went to the scorecards, I thought there was a chance Haney might win the decision because he won so many rounds just with his jab. And he didn't win them by hurting Ryan Garcia. They weren't dominant rounds, but he won them. And so that's what people get real. Oh, that guy got knocked down three times. He should win a big,
No.
It's round by round.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was really the case where maybe Ryan Garcia won five rounds, but in those rounds,
way more
they had knockdowns,
yeah.
And so they were bigger gaps, and that made the difference. And so, like, Dan Rayfield scored the fight for Devin Haney.
Yeah.
Mike Coppinger scored the fight for Devin Haney. Chris Manning scored the fight 112-112, a draw. One judge had a 112. Kevin Ioli had it 113-111.
That's what I kind of...
For Garcia.
I kind of fell
that's
in line with that.
More in line. The 115-110 was goofy.
Yeah.
Like, what are you watching?
No, when I
going to the bathroom during some of the rounds?
When I was watching it, I had it 113-111, too.
But, like, with 115, you're insinuating that in some fashion, Ryan Garcia won seven rounds. He didn't win seven rounds. The rounds that he won were more dominant.
Yeah.
And you get more points when he got the knockdowns.
And he landed more power punches. I mean, he way out-power punched Haney.
Right. And, I mean, and Haney out-jabbed
him.
So
right.
That's, you know, it's all subjective.
Yep.
You know? But it wasn't, the 112-112 wasn't out of line. But again, that's people that don't understand. And I get it. It's not easy to explain. Right? I think Garcia deserved to win the fight. And like a 113-111, that sits right with me.
Yeah.
Phil was furious. He said that, but also, Phil hates Ryan Garcia. Phil despises Ryan Garcia.
Why?
And I said, you're doing this. I know you're mad, but Selena, who was watching the fight with us, loves Ryan Garcia. Loves Ryan Garcia.
I like
she
Ryan Garcia.
She clearly thought he won the fight. He won the fight. I said, you're saying that because you love Ryan Garcia. Now, I think they might give it to Devin Haney. I'm hoping they do because I gambled and I bet on Devin Haney. So that's why I'm biased here. I said, now, if you're asking me just to be unbiased, I would give a slight decision to Ryan Garcia. But the point is, for him to do that, it was a great performance from him based on what the expectations are. Devin Haney should watch that fight and should kick himself in the ass repeatedly because that fight was there for him to win. The problem was he kept getting right in no man's land. He wasn't up on Garcia's so where he could smother him, and he wasn't back far enough where he could dominate with a jab. Where was he? He kept landing. He kept ending up in the danger zone, right? Right in Garcia's range of the hook. Can't do it.
Yeah, he fell asleep on that hook.
He can't do it. You got to be up on his ass,
yeah,
in his grill so you can smother his power, or you got to stay back where you can control with the jab, not right here. So,
yeah, and the way Garcia came out right from the gate, I mean, he was firing on all cylinders, and I think that took Haney.
But see, everyone knew he was going to do that.
Right.
Why didn't Devin Haney?
That's the shocking
everyone
part of
knew
the
he was going to do that.
Right.
Everybody knew he was going to do that. You know?
Except for the guy who needed to know.
But it ended up being a wildly entertaining fight.
Yeah.
And a reminder of why I love boxing, because it was unexpected. The underdog won, and it was the crowd was crazy. It was wildly entertaining. So, did I bore you enough with that?
No.
You asked me if I tried to explain anything. Did anything make sense?
It sounds like you need to train Devin Haney.
I've trained fighters. I could try. You know, I don't need to train Devin Haney. He's better than that. But I mean,
maybe
you know,
he needs a new voice.
I could have helped him in the corner that night.
See,
I could promise you that. Bill Haney is too worried about making Bill Haney a star. Sometimes,
yeah.
Bill Haney's too worried about him, you know, getting in a scuffle with Bernard Hopkins at the end. He's trying to take pressure off his
smart move.
He's also trying to get on camera as much as possible. Okay, sometimes step back and let your kid be the star. You know, or maybe step back and be humble and say, you know what, to give my son the best chance of winning this fight, I need another guy in there
Stephen St. John.
No. I'm not going to say that. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Today on the show, we'll talk to Mark Boerich, your former Chiefs wide receiver, will be in studio. Scott Carroll, former major league pitcher, will be in studio. Jarrett Sutton.
World's nicest man.
Current handsome man.
Past, current, and future handsome man.
Hey, we did a nice podcast I think you'd enjoy. We did an hour-long podcast with former Mizzou and Arkansas head coach Mike Anderson.
A guy like a Mike Anderson?
He and one told me, he goes, you get a guy like a Lawrence
he
Bowers.
Did it?
Yeah.
He did
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I loved
ah!
it. Because he was talking about
DeMarre Carroll.
When he started, turning things around in Mizzou, yeah. you know, getting a guy like a Lawrence Bowers. It was just a big play waiting to happen, you know? Yeah. It was great. I loved it. I love talking to Mike. It was an hour, and we talked about some great stuff.
It's up now?
It is up now at House of Hustle, Sports Radio 810, at SSJWHB, any of my social media platforms. I posted it. It was really cool to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know?
I like Mike.
And look, this is just honest. And now, I have high hopes for next year. I don't know why. But this transfer portal is
Where is the bar from this past year?
Back in the tournament,
but
with the amount of money they are spending,
but if you
in the offseason NIL money and buying these players, they better be back in the tournament.
But when you have
see they got on Friday
when you're 0-18,
Mark Mitchell,
it doesn't take much to be better.
Mark Mitchell,
is he a Dukie?
Yeah.
Everyone left Duke, right?
Yep.
Seven people leave Duke.
Basically, good.
But then they have. Like six of the top 20 players coming in or something?
Yeah, it was a five-man recruiting class, and so far four guys in line, nine new players coming in so far. And they need another big, so they're going to have 10 new players coming in.
And I don't want to sound like some grumpy old man, but it's weird. I mean, it's just...
It's what it is,
man. It is, though.
He better be glad there's a transfer portal.
Yeah.
Or he'd be in real trouble. Because they're going to hire an AD someday.
You think?
Maybe.
Hey, listen, we're going to hire a boss for you. You watch it.
Now there's buzz that they're just going to keep the interim AD. So, you want to know why?
Why?
Who likes her?
Because Drink.
Because Drink was likes her.
Drink.
She was the football administrator before.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
But if you would like to listen
she
to that,
the scoreboards.
It was a really fun conversation about basketball with
Mike Anderson.
He already confirmed to me.
What's that?
There was always that rumor out there that he did interview for the OKC job at one point, and they went in a different direction.
Which time was that?
Maybe when they hired Dean Demopoulos.
Oh, maybe. So way back then.
Oh, no, it was way back.
Way back, yeah.
It was before he was the head coach.
Yeah.
It was when he was an assistant at Arkansas.
Yeah. Before they set the bar.
And he said that, I don't know if it was that. It was one of the.
Yeah.
But he's when he was in Arkansas, and he said that there was. He goes, no one's ever asked me about that. No one's supposed to ever knew that.
Yeah.
And I had someone.
Yeah.
Because the tie there was Lee Hunt, coached for Gene Bartow,
and Birmingham.
So did. There's ties there with Mike Anderson, right? And so, Coach Elm was campaigning for Mike Anderson. I think Coach Hill might have been the interim AD at that point. Anyway, he confirmed it, and he said, that's never really been out there, but that happened. He goes, and there weren't too many jobs that Nolan Richardson was going to let me take.
Yeah.
He goes, but that would have been one of them. He thought that was,
Yeah. A good place to get you start. And also Kevin Ioli.
It would have only been for like two or three years.
Yeah, but
you
something.
Know how good it would have been?
Would have been something.
Because that style wins quickly. I didn't want him to. I wanted him to say all that.
No,
it
never happened.
No, and it did. So he converted. Kevin Ioli, we'll talk about the Ryan Garcia win over Devin Haney. Listen to that Mike Anderson podcast, though, with Jarrett Sutton and I at House of Hustle, brought to you by Charlie Hustle.
A guy like Mark Boerich coming up next.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.